Well, it's 2008. Does it feel like 2008? It feels like still like last week. This is the Sabbath. And yet, friends, it is different. It is different. Even though you have to change it on the calendar 2008 instead of 2007, there is something very, very different. And as Christian believers, as Seventh-day Adventist Christian believers especially, we know that Jesus' coming is that much sooner, isn't it? That much sooner. Could it be? Wouldn't it be awesome? This was implied today. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he came in 2008? Are you excited about that? That could happen? Now, Pastor Ken is not here today to say he's coming in 2008, but I would be so excited and I wouldn't love for that to happen. I want to talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ today. I thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ came the first time. And because he came the first time, I believe he's going to keep his promise. He's going to come again. Amen? As he wants for us to be ready and to be prepared for his coming, he has given us warning signs, so that when we see these signs, we know that his coming is soon. Today, I want to share with you a warning sign that can be kind of scary, and yet it's very real. In fact, the message that I share with you today, as I prepared it, and the series of messages I've been working on it, is something that I've never shared in my entire ministry. But I'm going to do it, because I believe it's in the Word of God, it's a warning. And if you were not told about this, and it came and it happened, you would say, well, if I would have only known. I want you to rejoice with along with the rest of Christians when Jesus comes again. I want you to know about this warning sign. So I want to begin with this question. Will the stars fall again? If you and I believe in the Bible that you brought today, and thank you for bringing your Bibles, and if you have a neighbor nearby that does not have a Bible, let's get together. We're in the Word of God again today. If you believe in the Word of God, the answer is yes. The stars will fall again. As you turn with me now to Matthew, the 24th chapter, today we're going to go to our Bibles. We're going to see from the Word of God that it predicts that a series of natural disasters will hit this planet Earth prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's not a question if, but the question is when. Matthew, the 24th chapter, that signs chapter, and we look at verse 29. With our Bibles open, read and follow with me verse 29 of Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is a prediction that Jesus gave. It's right here in the Bible, the Word of God. How many predictions right here in verse 29 are there that Jesus gave? Count them. How many? I would like to suggest there are 3 predictions. But prior to these predictions taking place, Jesus Christ, first of all, clearly implies that something must happen first. And so he begins that verse 29, by saying this, after the tribulation of those days, something will happen. The tribulation that Jesus is talking about here, well, what is this tribulation? Well, you look at the context. Right here at the signs chapter of Matthew 24, and the context is verses 21 and 22. So go with me up to verses 21 and 22. For then there will be a great tribulation. There it is. Such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. As Bible students, you know what that particular tribulation is. We describe this as we understand history, this period of time, this tribulation period, as the Dark Ages. You're familiar with that expression, aren't you? The Middle Ages, the Dark Ages especially. And those of us that know Bible prophecy, we go to the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. It actually pinpoints this time that we call the Dark Ages as a period of time known as the 1260-year period. Does this sound familiar to some of you? 1,260 literal years when the Church of Rome would unite with the church and the state and rule. That is the tribulation that must take place first before these three predictions occur. And so this Dark Ages, 1,260 years of tribulation, and it starts, without going into a lot of detail, 538 A.D., 1,260 years later, we come to 1798. So somewhere, sometime around 1798, Jesus' three predictions, noted here in Matthew 24, verse 29, will take place. So let's take a look at those predictions now. Three of them. And if you got your pencil or your pen or some kind of marking, we're going to mark our Bibles, those of you that want to join me and do that. There are three predictions. Note number one, the sun shall be darkened and the moon will not give its light. It sounds like Bible class. You remember some of these things. Bible students in prophecy, they know this very unusual, unique event that occurred on May 19, 1780. It is identified in history as the Great Dark Day. The Great Dark Day. It happened. It happened in 1780. The second prediction that Jesus gave, the stars fell from heaven. It's recorded in history as actually happening. The stars fell November 13, 1833. That's the second prediction. Right on number two next to that. But it is that third prediction that Jesus made that I want for us to understand better. I'm understanding it better. I'm excited in sharing it with you. Very simply, here in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 29, are the words given by Jesus, and the powers of the heavens will be what? What does it say? Shaken. Mark that, number three. Now, I looked it up in the Greek, and I'm not expecting you to do that. Some of you understand a little Greek, some of us don't. And in a Greek sentence structure, this little phrase, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken, does not refer to the earlier part of the verses, but rather to a time yet future. To a time yet future. So, let's take a look at the other Gospels. What do they have to say? Other Gospels talk about the same event. Let's go now to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. It's interesting, the Gospel of Mark, which was really the very first Gospel that was written, Matthew got a lot of his insights as he was working from what Mark had to say. Mark's Gospel is very similar to that of Matthew's. There you find three predictions that Jesus made that would occur sometime after the tribulation of those days, after the 1,260-year prophetic period. Well, let's read it for ourselves. Mark 13 and verses 24 and 25. But in those days, after the tribulation, what's going to happen? The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of the heavens will fall, and the powers in heaven shall be shaken. I would like for you to mark your Bible. 1, 2, and 3. Number one, the dark day, right there in verse 24. You see it there. Number two, the falling of the stars. And number three, the third prediction, noted here in Mark chapter 13, verse 25. It simply says, and the powers that are in heaven shall be what? Shaken. Now listen carefully. The only gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the only gospel that gives us a detailed, underline that word, a detailed description of this third prediction that Jesus gave is the one noted in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. So come with me there. Luke, chapter 21. This is the gospel that really makes the detail come out. Luke, the 21st chapter. And this discovery, as I began to learn about this, and I'm learning more and more about it, was a real eye-opener to me. And I've come to believe that we have not clearly understood what Jesus means by this third prediction. And I want you to see that Luke adds something very significant here, very significant information and help that you don't find in Matthew and Mark. Matthew, Mark very simply make those that little phrase, and what does it say? The powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. That's what you read in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark. But now we come to Luke chapter 21 and verses 25 and 26. Everybody there? Follow as I read it. Verses 25 and 26. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Now, notice that little phrase at the end. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. There is that phrase that we noted in Matthew and Mark. I pray that as we study this passage today, that the Holy Spirit will give us insight, discernment of the message that God has for us. Let us take a closer look at this passage. Notice the first part, in fact, the first sentence of verse 25. Keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 21. First sentence goes like this: there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And that's a summary statement. And we've already gone over that. The Gospel of Matthew and Mark mention the sun would be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. And this happened. It happened in the past. It's a historical event. But I want you to see that what is noted in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, is yet future. The Gospel of Luke not only gives us more detail, and we're going to look at that in a moment, but it actually tells us in the Gospel of Luke the reaction of the people. The reaction. Very interesting. So take a look at it here. The second part of verse 25. Here's the reaction. On the earth, nations will be in... What does your translation say? Say it out loud. Right. There's a number of different ones, but it's the same idea. Mine says anguish and perplexity. Now, let's take a closer look at these descriptive words here in Luke chapter 21. Descriptive words. We note, first of all, that nation will be in anguish? Nations. Did you ever notice that? Would you circle that? This is speaking of nations. This is speaking of an international reaction. Not a nation, but an international reaction. A worldwide reaction. And I want you to notice the reaction, the response given by the human race to this third prediction. Look at it here. Anguish. Or maybe in your translation it says distress. Circle that word that you have. Anguish or distress. I thought to myself, well, what does that mean? Anguish or distress. Well, that means, you know, the idea here, that hurts. That hurts a lot. But Luke goes on and it gives another description, a never descriptive name here. Notice it uses the word perplexity. Is that in your translation? Quite a few of the translations give the word perplexity. Circle that as well. What does that mean? Perplexity. The nations of the world will be in perplexity. In essence, they will be saying within themselves and verbally, what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? And I don't know about you, but after 9/11, as I was listening to the news, I was hearing back in New York and Washington, D.C., the eastern part of the United States of America, and the people were asking that question, what are we going to do now? And I listened to the news of when the hurricane hit Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. The reaction of the people were, what are we going to do now? And if you've been listening just recently, in Los Angeles area, there was a terrible fire. And now as a result of all these things, the fire wiping out all of this, now they're having mudslides. And people were saying, and maybe still are saying, what are we going to do now? But Jesus is telling us here in his word, he predicts that this feeling, this emotion, will not happen in that city or in that nation, but in the entire world. In the entire world, they will be expressing, what are we going to do now?
Listen carefully. I have two questions for you, those of you who are Bible students. You know a little about history. Was there international anguish and perplexity over the dark day in 1780? Have you done your homework? Was the whole world in anguish and perplexity at the falling of the stars in 1833? The answer is no. The answer is no. Let's look a little closer. Let's go to verse 26 now of Luke chapter 21, verse 26. Jesus says that the entire human race, it further describes it there. And reading from the New International Version, it went like this. Men will faint with terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the earth. That was really clear, but I am so used to the King James Version, and I noted that. It just, the phrase just flows from my mind. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. And according to verse 26, now this is very important, the entire human race will be in terror over what? What will they be in terror of? They'll be in terror over the shaking of the heavenly bodies. Do you see that there in the Bible? The sun, the moon, and the stars. It, right there in verse 26. For the powers of the heaven will be what? Shaken. Shaken. How many times over the years I have expressed, I've quoted these verses that I've just quoted to you after a terrible earthquake. And the reaction of the people in that particular part of the world, in that particular city or section of the world, or after the attack of 9/11, and after the terrible hurricane of Katrina that hit New Orleans, I quoted those verses, and it's all right to do that, because there's no question they were in anguish, they were in distress. But to be honest with this passage, friends, are you with me? To be honest with this passage, what causes the entire world to be in anguish and distress? What causes men's hearts to fail them for fear? Let's read it again. Read it again for one time more. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be what? Shaken. Do you see it? It is not because of an earthquake. It is not because a terrorist attack occurs and all of these things will happen. But it is because the sea will be roaring, the waves will be roaring, because the powers of heaven will be shaken. That's what it says here. And the entire world will be in distress and perplexity over what is coming on the world, upon this world, from above. We will be bombarded by these heavenly bodies. Again, allow me to ask this question. Was the entire human race in terror? Were men's hearts failing them over the signs that occurred in 1780 and 1833? The answer is no. Now don't misunderstand here. These dates, those events, are very important to us as students of Bible prophecy. Very important to us. They should cause us to rejoice and be thankful for history and Bible prophecy, because, you see, the darkening of the sun and the falling of the stars have great significance to us, because when Jesus predicted that they would happen at the end of the 1260-year period, it happened. It happened. And it strengthened our faith. May 19, 1780, the darkening of the sun and the moon giving no light. The stars fell November 13, 1833. You see, now listen carefully. Our Adventist pioneers did not understand all that Jesus meant here. They believed that the events in 1780, the event that would take place in 1833, meant that Jesus' coming, his second coming, would almost certainly come in their lifetime. But here we are living in the 21st century in the year 2008, and Jesus obviously did not come yet and has not yet come. But you see, what happened is they neglected to note Jesus' third prediction. His third prediction. And especially the detailed description right here in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. So, with that in mind, what do these signs in 1780 and 1833 mean? What do they mean to us? Well, they mean very simply this, and very importantly this, that indeed that prophecy, that Bible prophecy in Daniel and Revelation, the 1260-year period of prophecy, it happened. We are now living in the time of the end. So those prophecies, those first two prophecies noted there in Matthew and Mark, are greatly significant. Friends, we are now living in the time of the end. But as we re-examine the third prediction, and especially Luke's description, we can now see something that our Adventist pioneers missed. Jesus' third prediction of the sun and the moon and the stars is that they will be shaken again, and thus cause worldwide terror and international anguish and perplexity like nothing that has ever happened before. And it did not happen like that in 1780 and 1833. I would like to suggest that Jesus' third prediction is yet future. Something that has not happened yet. It is yet future. In other words, what happened in 1780 and 1833 were a partial fulfillment, but the full, complete fulfillment is still future. Friends, the stars will fall again. The heavenly bodies will fall again. And this time, they will cause worldwide international anguish and perplexity. Would you keep your bookmark in Luke chapter 21? Whatever that bookmark might be, it might be your church bulletin, keep it right there. We're going to come back to it. But go with me now to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel, the 12th chapter. Oh, I love to hear the sound of Bibles. So glad you brought your Bibles with you. And as you're turning there to Daniel, the 12th chapter, I want to just kind of give a word of caution here. As I study Bible prophecy, I enjoy it. As an Adventist Christian, we appreciate and understand some things about Bible prophecy that sometimes some of our other Christian friends may not understand or even see is significant. But I've come to realize that we have to be careful about what the future holds. And I realize that here I am as a pastor, I'm sharing something with some of you that might be, well, you've never heard it that way before. You've never heard it that way before. And it's not unusual that prophecy works out differently than we, from our limited perspective, had anticipated. So friends, as I stand before you, I'm willing to admit to you, I may be wrong. I may be wrong in what I'm sharing with you. It may not happen exactly what we're trying to seek to bring out here. But as I've studied the Bible, as I've gone to the spirit of prophecy, and I'm looking forward to sharing some insights from that in our next sermon, as I've studied science and astronomy in this issue, whoa, what I see is, friends, we have not seen anything yet. The stars will fall again. The heavenly bodies will fall again. They will shake and cause the world to be in terror. That is Jesus' prediction in Luke chapter 21. But notice now, Daniel's prophecy of a time that is yet future as well. Daniel chapter 12, everybody there? Verse 1. We'll notice just the first part of it. At that time, Michael shall stand up. We'll stop there. Now, according to Bible prophecy, when does Michael stand up? When does he stand up? Standing up indicates something is coming to an end. Probation is closing. Right. So during a time when probation will close. So with that in mind, let us go on. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. I'll read the whole thing again. At that time, Michael shall stand up. the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be, what? A time of troubles such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, at that time your people shall be delivered, and everyone who is found written in the book. I would like to ask you to add to this statement that we just read, this prophetic description that Jesus gives to us in Luke chapter 21. That the signs of the sun and the moon and the stars will cause the nations to be in anguish and perplexity. And in that setting, Daniel chapter 12 verse 1 describes it as a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. The human race will be in terror. Why? Why the anguish? Why the perplexity of the nations? Because as a result of the heavenly bodies coming down, down upon this world, the people are explaining, what are they explaining? What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now to save the human race from extinction? And in this context, we can better understand the background of Revelation chapter 13. Now, that's a future sermon. Hold on, I'm going to get there in the future. But I would like to ask you to please consider the real possibility that Jesus' third prediction is the falling of heavenly bodies. Now, when you think of heavenly bodies, what do you think of? You think of stars. You think of, there's a number of different kinds of stars. We have asteroids, we have comets, we have meteorites. And again, what does the Bible say here? Luke chapter 21, verse 26, the last part. For the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Today, we've gone to the Bible. We've gone to the Bible and looked at what the Bible has to say. And believe it or not, this interpretation of Jesus here in Luke chapter 21 is particularly significant in the light of what modern science knows now about stars, about asteroids and comets and meteorites. So I need to ask this question. Does modern science predict the possibility that the stars will fall again? Does modern science believe that these heavenly bodies could hit this planet Earth and have a worldwide impact? In closing, I want to share with you what I'm learning. And I'm saying I'm learning. I am not an expert in this, but I'm learning it. And what would happen, friends? What would happen? Just imagine it. Put your imaginations to work. What would happen to our planet Earth if what Luke predicts here, Jesus, through the Gospel of Luke, predicts that the heavenly bodies would shake and hit our planet Earth? What would actually happen? Maybe a comet, maybe an asteroid, maybe some large meteorite. Well, take a look at the screen here as I ask this question. Will the stars fall again? Could something like this actually happen? Could it happen? Well, in Time magazine, as I did a little bit of homework, April 10, the year 2000, there was an article. And the article was entitled, "Will a Killer Asteroid Hit the Earth?" That's an interesting question. And the first paragraph by this scientist really opened it up for me and said, whoa, that's interesting. Listen to this. Notice what the scientist had to say. Time, April 10, 2000. When it comes to asteroids wreaking disaster on the Earth, the real question is not if, but when. Well, okay. And I read on in that article, and notice what else it has to say. As recently as 1908, a small rocky asteroid or a chunk of comet exploded 5 miles above the Tungsten region of Siberia. Now, Siberia is heavily populated. Is that right? Lots and lots and lots and lots of people. Cities and everything. No, it's out there in the middle of nowhere. Felling trees, starting fires, killing wildlife over an area of how long? Look at this. An area of more than 1,000 square miles. Well, my natural response is, okay, that's out in the middle of nowhere, and a terrible thing occurred. What would happen? What would happen if such an asteroid or a comet hit America, for example? What would happen? Well, in the National Space Society, they have a magazine. It's called Ad Astra. Now, I don't make it a habit and read all these magazines, but as I did my research, I read some of these magazines. And in 1992, in Ad Astra, it says this: if a Tunguska sized comet hit a typical rural portion of the United States today, as many as 70,000 people would be killed, and property damage would exceed how much? $4 billion. An impact in an urban area would kill 300,000 people, with property damage exceeding $280 billion. That's mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling. By the way, you think if something like that to happen, do you think that the world would be in anguish and distress over things like that? National Geographic had a whole article on that. It was a front page article, right in the front, in 1989. And notice what it had to say. An asteroid 6 miles in diameter, now that's a big asteroid, would create a fireball. And note that word, fireball. We're going to see that again in the future. I'll read it again. An asteroid 6 miles in diameter would create a fireball with a radius of several thousand miles, winds of hundreds of miles an hour would sweep our planet for hours, drying trees like a giant hairdryer and burning up some 90% of the world's forest. Can you imagine that? If such an asteroid were to plunge into the ocean, it would kill most of the world's fish. Imagine what that would do to our agriculture and everything else. And it would create a tidal wave 3 miles high. That's mind-boggling. The tidal wave from an impact in the Gulf of Mexico would wash over much of the North American continent. An asteroid crashing into either the Pacific or the Atlantic Ocean would inundate the United States, Mexico, and Canada as far as the major mountain ranges, unquotes. Wow. That was my response. Wow, that is something. Now, if I study my Bible correctly, this here implies a 6 miles large asteroid coming to the planet Earth. If that was to happen, it would wipe out the human race. But as you and I study Scripture, we know that when Jesus comes, there are going to be people living on this world. Issues are going to be considered, right? Great controversy issues. So obviously, that type and size will not occur. But yet, I read in another magazine, astronomy magazine, that describes the effect of a much smaller object, a heavenly body. Notice what it says. An impact from even a small asteroid might do little more than disrupt the ecosystem for a few years. Now, this is interesting. Yet such a minor, quotes unquotes, event could destroy civilization. Why is this? Because civilization depends on the exploration of natural resources. Is that right? Sure it does. If our food supply is totally disrupted, as it would be in the case of an impact winter, crops would die all over the world. The fragile strands of civilization would quickly unravel. Our species, if not driven to extinction, would be decimated, driving survivors to a Stone Age existence. Astronomy Magazine, 1991. Most interesting, isn't it? Did you keep your bookmark? in your Bibles in Luke chapter 21. Let's go back to Luke chapter 21. Is it any wonder, friends, that Jesus said that the signs of the sun, moon, and stars will, in the last days, just before he comes, terrorize the human race and cause them to be in anguish and perplexity? And fortunately, as I look at this passage, Jesus did not end his story there. Aren't you thankful for that? He did not end his story there. At the same time, listen to this, at the same time that the world is in panic, God's people are going to be rejoicing. God's people are going to be rejoicing. That's right. God's people rejoice when they see the stars falling. And it's recorded for us right here. Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. Read with me. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen and amen. Yes, what a contrast. The very same events that throw the world in panic, the whole world in panic, and cause yet God's people to rejoice. We cannot say, and I am willing to admit to you, we cannot say whether the future will work out exactly the way I have described it here and sought to explain it to you today. However, friends, Jesus has given this to us. It is a warning, so that when it comes, we will be able to relate to it. And when it does come, and I believe something like this is going to come, when it does come, friends, we'll understand why it's come and what it means. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be rejoicing. Because when it does come, and he told us it would come, then I know my Lord is coming very soon. And so it is true. It is absolutely true. Before Jesus comes, things are going to get worse before they get better. But it's also true. The best is yet to come. Let's pray. Precious, loving Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have been present here, helping us to sense the urgency of the times that we live. As much as we want to live in the normal, help us to realize that there's no such thing as normal as it used to be. We're living in the last days, Lord. You've warned us about it. You're telling us here that things will get worse before they get better. But Father, we thank you that in your love, you have given us this help. You've given us your word, your promises, your warning signs, so that when they do happen, we can say, Lord, we rejoice because you're coming soon. Praise you, Lord, for our redemption draweth nigh. In Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.